meetings leave people inspired or, let's be honest, just frustrated? Could you effectively lead by turning wasted time into actual wins? In today's episode, we're going to address that. But do you mind if I share a short story with you? See, I was asked to step in and lead a critical project meeting for a colleague that unexpectedly was out at the time. I wasn't fully briefed on every detail, but I confidently thought, I got this. As soon as the meeting started, I noticed tension immediately. Team members started debating, frustration was rising, and before I knew it, the discussion had actually turned into a conflict rather than a collaboration. Honestly, if I'm going to be honest, and I'm just going to be real with you guys, I really felt blindsided. Because afterwards, my manager called me aside and he gently said, and he gave me some direct feedback. He said, hey, you know, he received some information from his boss and he said, Edward, the meeting felt very chaotic. My boss wondered if the person leading the meeting was fully prepared. Now, family, if I'm going to be honest, it's just you and I, right? Between you and me, I was frustrated. I was thinking to myself, why didn't he lead the meeting? Because he was more familiar with the project. I was fed up to fail. Then I quickly snapped out of my emotions. I quickly explained, I was covering at the last minute. I wasn't fully up to speed yet. And even though I was right, it was actually true what he was saying. I realized something very crucial at that moment. There were core meeting management techniques I could have applied right away to actually manage the conflicts that were going on in the meeting. I could have kept the meeting more productive, even without knowing every single detail. That experience alone taught me this critical lesson. Effective meeting leadership isn't about knowing all the details. It's about confidently using the right tools and techniques to guide decisions, conflicts, as well as ensure everyone leaving feeling that it was a productive meeting. Here's exactly how you can do that. Point number one, effectively manage conflicts. Conflicts can occur when different opinions arise. So being able to have the ability to manage it constructively is essential. Why is this important? Because proper conflict management preserves team dynamics and ensures what we all want when we go to a meeting, which is a productive outcome. Here's some actionable tips I'd love for you to experiment. Address conflicts directly. Stay calm, and asking involved parties to clarify their viewpoint. Next one, prepare clear next steps to resolve the disagreements and move forward. And the next time a disagreement arises, family, schedule a quick, what we will call it, a conflict resolution huddle. Outline the core issues, listen to all viewpoints, and collaboratively decide on a path forward. It's all about finding a path forward. Point number two, stay flexible in your approach. I remember when I first started, this was very challenging because, you know, when you come from when you really love this thing called project management, we'll start there first. And I'm studying the PMBOK and I'm studying any, you know, articles and reading things. And so you become so ingrained in just the information of project management. And then now you have to show what you've learned. And I was like, this is how a meeting has to be structured. Do, which it does. It needs to have some structure because it's very important. But being adaptable lets you address urgent issues that arise unexpectedly. And this is important because strict adherence to agenda without flexibility can stifle creativity and actually ignore critical concerns. Here's my actionable tips I'd love for you to experiment with. Allow a short discussion if a pressing topic emerges. Otherwise, schedule a follow-up meeting. That's key, family, scheduling a follow-up meeting. Unless, again, if these are pressing topics, remain open-minded and encourage alternative viewpoints or solutions. How I've done this in the past, the present, is you kind of get a gauge when someone is starting to take the meeting off course or, hey, we need to pivot because we just found out this one of the project team members or even myself found out something that, hey, we need to make this change. And I know we had a full agenda, but this is more, you know, more important. So just having that adaptable mindset. Point number three, begin with a brief recap. Oh, this is huge. Summarizing previous progress and outstanding tasks helps everyone align quickly on the actual project current status. This is why this is important. A common starting point reduces confusion and sets a clear context for new discussion. One of the things I always say when I would normally start off, I would have my risk and or issues as the first agenda point. Second would be a quick, brief recap. Okay, John, you said you were going to have these task items done when on our last meeting. So today I'm hoping that we can get that covered. Also, from our last meeting, we identify a particular resource that's going to be out in the next two weeks. So just wanted to bring that up, make sure everyone was aligned. See, from the reason why I'm doing that is to ensure that everyone is on the same page. We're starting off from right where we started, and then we're moving future to make sure we cover those items. So here's my experiment, the actionable tips I'd love for you to experiment with. Highlight major achievements since the last meeting. List any pending actions or deadlines before moving to the next topic. Point number four, keep that energy up, engagement high. I don't know why I did all that, but that's just how I am. High energy in meetings sustains focus and motivates team members, especially during complex discussions. You're like, how do you keep the energy up? Just like what I'm doing with my voice going up. If I was talking like this, hey, everyone, welcome to the meeting versus, hey, everyone, thank you for joining today. I appreciate you. Now we're going to get started. The first topic on our agenda is risk. Last week, you see how that energy, it sounds more, I'm more vocal. I'm making sure that everyone knows I'm here and I need everybody else to get on the same page. I know you just got out of another boring meeting, but you know this meeting is not going to be the same. We get right to it. If we don't have nothing to discuss, I'm not going to sit on here on this call longer than we need to be or be in the conference room longer than we need to be because I'm here for the outcomes. Where are we at on certain things? Okay, I digress. Here we go. Why is this important? Engaged participants are more likely to contribute creative ideas and stay aligned on the goal. Here, I'd love for you to experiment with some of these actionable tips. Alternate between presentation and interactive segments like a Q&A or a brainstorming session, or even, hey, this is a problem. What are some proposed solutions you guys think will happen? Also use quick polls or round robins to get everyone involved. One of the things I also have done is using a mirror board. MIRO mirror. That is really getting people engaged just to create some type of engagement. Point number five, set ground rules for participation. Ground rules clarify how team members should interact, making the meeting respectful and efficient. One of the documents that you could also use is a team charter. That is a really great document that I've used in the past. And I think it depends on how big the team is and things of that nature. And if you feel comfortable with it, and it's going to take a couple reps to understand how that team charter works. Some people say, oh, it's just straightforward. Well, you'll see when people start adding on all of these different things, you're like, wait a minute, we got to keep this concise enough where we can hold each other accountable and it's not a 10-page or we're not writing a book here. So anyway, have agreed upon norms, whether it's, hey, when someone is talking, we're going to be respectful and we're not going to have side conversation. We're going to have one speaker at a time. We're going to make sure that we start on time and we end on time. These are things are just agreed upon norms. And this is what keeps meetings on track as well as foster inclusivity. Here's some actionable items I'd love for you to experiment with. State the rules at the start, such as muting while not speaking in a virtual meeting. And one of the things I love using, which is called a parking lot. What is that? Basically, using a parking lot technique is for off-topic ideas that we can come back and revisit later. So normally, either if we're on site, then I may have a whiteboard and write up there. If we're virtual, then I'll just write these things down and I'll put them in my meeting recap under parking lot things that we can talk about for next meeting. Point number six, time box discussions. Now, I got a little loose on this because, yeah, people like me that's long-winded when it comes to conversation sometimes, but I know how to make it concise if that needs to happen. So limiting how long each topic is discussed helps maintain momentum and ensures the agenda is covered. I remember I used to be a tactician when it came to that. I was like, okay, we're going to talk about risk for 2 minutes unless there's new risk. or if we find out the risk flips to an issue. And then I would just go down to equivalent to 30 minutes or an hour. But I realize you have to have some type of flexibility in there. But there's certain meetings that you have to have time box, because if you don't, you may either you're going to have a lack of participation, meaning resources are not going to show up, or it's going to be that everyone is wanting to get their topic in so they can talk about it. But this is important, though, because it prevents over allocation of time to one item, leaving room for every topic that needs attention. And this is the value that I loved about it when I, you know, when I was using it regularly, is the fact that it's showing the speaker who's going to be speaking on that topic, hey, we value your time. How much you need? 5 minutes. Okay, we're going to stop the clock at 5 minutes once you start talking about it. That way we're hitting each topic and moving effectively, but we're also being efficient with our time. Here's some actionable tips I love for you to experiment with. Use a timer or assign a timekeeper role. If a topic runs over, schedule a separate session or move it to the end of the time, as in case we have some time available. Point number 7, highlight risk and roadblocks. We have to proactively identify potential issues, allowing teams to address them before they actually escalate. Here, this is why it's important. Early risk detection can save time, resources, and most of all, keep the project on track. One of the things I shared with you is when I have the meeting agenda, risk and issues are the first item. I want to get that out the way first before, in case somebody has to go to another meeting, you don't know what may happen. So that is very important to me because, like you said, if we're able to have early risk detection, we can save time, resources, and everything else included under the sun for that project. Here's some actionable tips I would love for you to experiment with. Include dedicated risk and roadblock section on every agenda, what we talked about. Also, assign a risk owner immediately. And I mean immediately. As soon as you guys identify a risk, hey, are you taking that risk? Okay, and I'm assigning it to you. And then we watch it until the actual issue is resolved, depending on what type of risk mitigation strategy we decide to go with. Point number 8, summarize key takeaway. Recapping decisions, tasks, deadlines at the end ensures everyone shares the same understanding. This right here, boy, when I started doing this, I was so confused, like, man, this really works. You know how when people talk about things like today, I'm sharing this information with you, and let's say you take one of these and go experiment and it works. You're like, wow, okay. And I actually learned this from someone. I was actually watching another project manager and I was helping him with something. I can't remember. And then at the end of the meeting, he summarized all the key takeaways, all of the actionable items. And I was like, wow, okay. This is different. And the reason why it was different to me is because, as you know, most people near the end are trying to get out to go to the next meeting. But he made sure that it was like a 5 or 10 minute sweet spot where he was able to, you know, summarize, hey, this is what you can expect in the email. And he just went through it. And I thought that was a clear summary that helps reduce miscommunication. As we say, communication, or I should say miscommunication, is the reason why, again, another add-on of why projects do not have the success that they were intended to set out to have. So, and it provides immediate reference points, especially if these are recorded. You know, this, you know, a lot of people started getting nervous when we started recording meetings, because now you can't say, oh, I didn't catch that, or I didn't know that. Not only am I summarizing the key takeaways, I'm also sending you an email and you have a recording. So what are we going to say now? All right, let me get to my actionable points that I would love for you to experiment with. Number 1, verbally reinstate the top 3 points or actions that have emerged. Number 2, encourage attendees to confirm or correct your summary before the end of the meeting. And that's another key takeaway, is that maybe you wrote something down, or let's say you're using an AI type meeting recap and it captured something, and then someone else comes on. This is what you want to happen, is that one of the project team members or stakeholders say, well, no, that's not correct. We're actually going to do this. And you're like, great. So this also opens up the dialogue between you guys. Point number 9, follow up with meeting minutes, as we say. Now, I went back and forth with this, and I'm going to explain why. So for me, I used to always do it right after the meeting. And I started experimenting, just like I always tell you, later in my career, I started sending it out within 24 hours. Because what happens is if you send it right after the meeting, I've seen where people did not really look at it. And so I said, well, let me experiment. And so I started sending it out maybe the next business day, because now those that same information kind of sparks like, oh, yeah, I do have that particular action item. Oh, yeah. So it just kind of brings back the conversation. Here, let me explain a little bit more. So documenting discussion points, decisions, and action items, keep a record, helps hold people accountable. Written meeting minutes serve as a reference, preventing any task slippage, and also clarify any confusion post-meeting. Here's my actionable tips. Like I said, send out a meeting notes within 24 hours, tagging owners in a shared document and or email. Emphasize the next meeting date or deliverable timelines in bold or highlighted form. One of my tips I'm going to give away for free, as this is, but it makes sense. And I learned this from actually somebody, a writer in, who did they write for? I can't remember. I don't know if it was the Washington Post or whatever, but that doesn't matter. The context of this is that they talked about the fold. And most of the time when people read something, sometimes they don't go beyond what they call the fold. And so I wanted to make sure that the action items or any risk or anything that was extremely important was at the top. What you'll see in most project managers do is they may have the attendance of the people that join and then the discussion points. And then under all of that, you'll see action items and risk and et cetera. And I was like, no. I'm going to move all that to the top. Because when you see that, that's going to be the first thing that's going to catch your attention. Okay, do I have any action items versus it being at the end? And I've seen how that's been more effective than putting at the end of the email or even at the middle, which it forces people to take immediate action. Point number 10, reflect and improve continuously. Gathering feedback on your meeting style and structure helps you refine your approach over time. Why is this important? Ongoing improvement enhances team engagement, productivity, and your overall leadership effectiveness. Now, like I said, I shared a story with you at the beginning of this episode, and some people would say, well, it's not your fault. You were helping someone else out. Why this person couldn't have stuck it? And, you know, I went through all of that, and I realized I'm glad it happened to me. And I know that may sound ironic, but I am, because it allowed me, it showed me that as a project manager, you're going to be put in situations that you are not going to be prepared for, but there is a certain structure or a outline that you can leverage, which we've kind of covered here today. You can always diffuse conflict by saying, hey guys, if we continue to go on like this, I'm going to either have to stop the meeting and I got to meet with you guys one-on-one to figure out what's going on. We may not have an agenda because we don't know what's going on, but we can go around the room and say, hey, what action item did you have, John? Sally, what action item did you have? So there's certain things that we have control over now and there's certain things we don't have control over. So it's all about controlling the controllables. All right, here's my actionable tip. Like I said, ask for direct feedback or send a quick anonymous survey for reoccurring meetings. Experiment with new techniques, different meeting formats, and measure whether these actually improve the outcome of the meeting. Here's my final thoughts. Remember, family, successful project managers don't just hold meetings. They drive outcomes. Here are three powerful habits I would love for you to experiment immediately, like we talked about. Effectively managing conflict, tackle conflict proactively and constructively. Every disagreement is an opportunity to build a couple things here: trust, clarity, and a much stronger team dynamic. Number two, stay flexible in your approach. Remember, being able to embrace flexibility when conditions change, confidently adapt your strategies and empower your team to respond effectively, keeping your project on track. And the last and final one, reflect and improve continuously. Commit to continuous reflection after every meeting. Take a moment to assess, hey, what went well in this meeting? What didn't go so well in this meeting? And start taking small changes to pivot. I'll just leave you with these closing remarks, and I'll let you be on your way if you stuck around this long. I truly appreciate you. Confidence isn't about knowing all the answers. It's trusting yourself to lead even when the path is challenging. Now, let's put this into action. we're counting on you. I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, hey, listen, that just simply means Ed. Until next time.